This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Every day it starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away, every day it starts all over again.
Here's today's message from Pastor Dr. Daryl Orman.
Amen. I praise the Lord this morning for Margaret bringing breakfast sandwiches for all the people up here on the stage. And Andrew brought me a couple of them, Margaret, a burrito and a McGriddle, a sausage, cheese, egg McGriddle, which is probably one of the best sandwiches on earth, okay? Thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So let's go ahead and greet each other. Turn around and give a greeting and fist pump, whatever you're doing today. And tell everybody hello. And now let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and we thank you for every provision from heaven. We thank you, dear God, for everything you provided for us so amply, for especially us here today. And Lord, we just acknowledge it and recognize it, and we just want to tell you we love you and praise you and thank you. Thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you for the way you take care of us. Thank you for the way you provide for us. Thank you, Lord, for the way you just pour your Spirit out in our life. Thank you for the ocean, the universe of forgiveness that you extend to every one of us every day. And Father, we just want to praise you and tell you today that we love you. And we ask you, Almighty God, to meet with us. We pray that you'll quicken our hearts and minds, that you would fill every person here from the most grateful to the most bitter, that you would fill every one of us with your Spirit and with the spirit of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. We love you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as Sophia makes her way up, please have a seat. I've got a couple announcements I'm going to throw on. In the lobby, we've got these packets that were brought to us early this morning from the pro-life movement here in the state of Florida. And right now, they're trying to get a petition passed. There's packets of 20 petitions out there. It's called the Human Life Protection Amendment. It's an amendment to our state constitution. And if we can get it on the ballot and get a 60% vote and it passes, then it will protect every baby in the state of Florida with a heartbeat. And not only that, let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. And not only that, but it will also protect our seniors. If you're in a life and death situation in the hospital, it'll protect you with your heartbeat, and the hospital staff won't be able to make a decision over you unless your family's involved. And so I want to encourage y'all that we need 891,589 petitions. They're in a mailable envelope, but if you'd like for us, we'll be glad to cover the postage if you bring them back to us. And we need to get them in. The deadline for this is February, and we want to get them in at least a month early. So we've got 75 packets of these right now. And so I want to encourage you to grab one, get everybody you know to sign one, and get those in to us. And then also this afternoon at 4 o'clock, we have our life group leaders meeting, and want to encourage you to make plans for that if you're involved in the leadership of our life groups. Sophia?
Good morning. Hope we're all enjoying the nice chilly weather this morning. Now, as always, if you are a guest, we would like you to fill out the Connect With Us panel on the sale. It just tears out really easy like that. and you can fill that out and put it in the offering plate when it comes by. Life groups are still meeting every Sunday morning at 9:15, and if you come to the church lobby at 9 a.m., a greeter will take you to your class. Now, an exciting celebration is coming up, a thankful celebration. It is a musical concert, and you can buy your tickets to benefit the 76 Project. It is Sunday, November 21st from 5 to 6, and it is right here in the sanctuary, and it is valued at $25. So that'll be a beautiful concert. Now, I know we just got into November, but Christmas is right around the corner. And with that, hostesses are needed for the ladies' Christmas tea party on December 18th at 11:30 a.m. And if you are interested, you can sign up today in the lobby, and you can talk to Ms. Kim, and she will be there to answer any questions and help you sign up. And the 8th annual Christmas tree and wreath sale is going on at our school here, and that goes to benefit the school, and it is an athletic fundraiser, and it's always nice to have, you know, real trees and wreaths for Christmas. Helps add to the ambiance. And the Feast of Plenty to Go is something that we do every year, and it is a wonderful ministry for this season. And it goes to bless a family with a Thanksgiving meal, and also to share the love of God, most importantly, from our church for this season, as we are celebrating what we are thankful for and giving back. And this is a wonderful ministry. And so if you are interested, you can sign up in the lobby and get one of these baskets here. And Ms. Kim or Pastor Orman will be there to answer all your questions there. So I encourage you to pray about that and get involved with that ministry. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sophia. One correction, the tickets for the concert are not for sale. We're giving them away, and we wanted you to give them out, but just share with them it's a $25 value. And in fact, today they're buy one, get one free because they're all free, okay? So grab some tickets, hand them out to your friends, invite them to come. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord. We just lift your name higher, Lord. You are the Lamb of God, Lord Jesus. And Jesus, we pray to you today, Lord, that you would just be over this service, Lord. Take control, Lord. And we look to you, Lord, and as Pastor comes to speak, Lord, just pray that you'll just use him as your instrument, as your under-shepherd to speak to us, Lord, what you have for us to hear this morning, Lord. And as the ushers come to take the offering, Lord, I pray that you'll just open up our hearts to give back to you just a little portion of the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us, Lord. We ask that you just be with us in this service, Lord, and as we go throughout our entire week, Lord, that you would just guide us. And we ask all this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He is worthy. We want to release our children for Children's Church right now. And one more announcement. Wednesday nights, as you know, we've consolidated our Bible study prayer time into our Wednesday night dinner. And dinner starts at 5, and then we start our little short devotional study prayer time at 5:30. And for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the 7 churches in the book of Revelation. If you want a reminder for that, it's on the cover of your cell, and love to invite you to be a part of that study with us on Wednesday nights. And it'll carry us through the end of the year, and I think you'll enjoy it. We have some things to glean from that as the Lord spoke to the 7 churches. Today, I want us to look at gratitude. As you know, we're in the Thanksgiving season, and we're looking forward to that time together, And I hope and pray all of us will just have a great resolution this month to be grateful and to be reminded. We're so fortunate to live in a country that God's placed us in that actually earmarks a time to thank him for everything he's done for us and for it to be a national celebration, a national holiday. And we need to make the most of it, and we need to press it. Now, when we think about gratitude to God, we need to be aware of our awareness of him. This is a true story. A woman entered a Häagen-Dazs store on the Kansas City Plaza for an ice cream cone. After making her selection, she turned around and found herself face to face with Paul Newman. He was in town filming the movie Mr. and Mrs. Bridge. Newman's blue eyes caused her knees to buckle. She managed to pay for her cone and then left the shop, heart pounding out of her chest. When she gained her composure, she realized that she didn't have her ice cream cone. So she started back to the store to get it and met Newman at the door. Newman said, "Are you looking for your ice cream cone?" he asked, and she nodded, unable to speak, and he said, "You put it in your purse with your change." How often have we been so enamored with Christ that we've just been distracted and lost all of our attention on Him? And that's an important part of our gratitude. If you look at the top of your notes, there's one of the great verses, Psalm 101 and 2 there, and I'd like for us to say it together on the count of three. One, two, three. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing." It's interesting that we think about this aspect of gratitude, and there's a lot of ingratitude in the world today, especially among those that are lost, actually, and don't have a relationship with Christ. But there's even an ingratitude among many of the saved or professing saved. In fact, the Bible talks about this as an aspect of the last days in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Not honoring God, not recognizing God, the God of the universe that has given us everything we have. He's giving us our breath. He's giving us our heartbeat. He's providing all of these things for us. He says He lets His rain fall on the just and the unjust. He provides nourishment and food to the whole earth. And He is a great God, and He is the only God, and He is the omniscient God and the all-powerful God. And He wants us to recognize Him. Unfortunately, there's been a trend, the modern age of apostasy, to abandon Him and to neglect Him or deny Him and deny Him all of these things that He so richly deserves. But the fact is, all of this earth and all of humanity and all of time, space, and history is rushing toward Him. We are rushing toward Him. And there will be a future acknowledgement by every living soul. It's coming. Scripture describes it this way and says that there's a name given above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's coming. It's coming. And you and I would be less than grateful and less than loving to acknowledge it to everyone that we know. So as we think of this passage in Psalm 100, if you want to look at it, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, shout joyfully to Him." We show our gratitude with a grateful heart. A thankful people are a joyful people. Gratefulness for His goodness, we see in this passage when it talks about what He does for us and He takes care of us. If you look in verse 5, "For the Lord is good." I like this cliche that we've said in church off and on through the years. God is good all the time God is good. Let's do that together. I'll say the first part, you say the second. God is good all the time. Let's say that again. Mean it with all your heart. God is good all the time.
All the time, God is good.
He really, really is in everything He does. And if you look back over your life, the trials, the hardships, the disappointments, the heartaches, even in those things, God was perfecting His will and working in our lives. We see his hand in all these things as he looks out for us. And he is good. We're grateful for his goodness, that he is good. He is good by nature. There are false gods of this world that lead their followers, demonic gods, to kill people. There are false gods that lead their people to lie, to steal, to cheat, to be completely devoid of value and character and honor. There are gods that do that. It's written in their books. But our God is a good God. Our God is a loving God. Our God is holy, just. Our God is a forgiving God. Our God is a truthful God, absolutely, positively, totally truthful, all the way. Our God is that God, a good God, a good God by nature, the only true God, a good God. We see also that we're grateful for his loving kindness. His loving kindness is everlasting. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament is hesed, and it's an unconditional love. It's a love where God says, I don't care what you do, what you say, what you are, I love you. I've decided to love you, and I'm committed to you. And he is that God, a loving God, with a love that lasts throughout eternity, billions and billions of years in the future. I had the opportunity Wednesday night to speak to our youth. And when I talked to him, I talked to him about eternity and how impossible it is for us to get our arms around eternity. Trillions multiplied trillions of years in the future. How can we get our arms around that? And the only illustration I've given through the years, it's I believe one of the better ones, is that if a seagull was to fly to the moon with a grain of sand in his beak and back, a round trip every 5 years, one grain of sand, picking up all the sand off of Stewart Beach, Jensen Beach, all the way up Daytona Beach, Jacksonville Beach, all the way up to New York, to Canada, all the way around our continent, all the continents of the earth, taking every single individual grain of sand from the earth to the moon in 5 year cycles, that would be the first day of eternity. The first day. We can't get our arms around it. We can't get our mind around it. But God says, my love is so great that I will love you all that time. I will love you in the future into infinity and beyond. We're also grateful for his faithfulness, how faithful he is to us. And his faithfulness should enamor us. It should capture our attention. We should be locked on him. The story is told that Cyrus, the founder of the Persian Empire, once captured a prince and his family. When they came before him, the monarch asked the prisoner, "What will you give me if I release you?" The prince said, "Half of my wealth." "If I release your children, everything I possess. And if I release your wife, your majesty, I will give you myself." Cyrus was so moved by the devotion of this prince that he freed all of them and they returned home. The prince said to his wife, "Wasn't Cyrus a handsome man?" With a look of deep love for her husband, she said to him, "I didn't notice him. I could only keep my eyes on you, the one who's willing to give his life for me." That's our Lord Jesus Christ, willing to sacrifice himself, willing to be defiled by the sin of humanity because of his love for us. And he wants us to keep our eyes on him, to concentrate on him, to faithfully look at him, to acknowledge his faithfulness in our life. Number two, We show our gratitude with a life of service. As we serve the Lord, as we recognize and acknowledge Him and serve Him. Charles Spurgeon, the great pastor from England, made this statement: they are sure to praise God best who serve Him best. And then if you'll look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. In 2 Corinthians 5, 14, the scriptures tell us this: for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. We acknowledge what He's done for us with our service of love to Him and our acknowledgement of Him. There was a little girl, her mother gave her one time, they went to church, and she said, I'm going to give you a dollar bill and a quarter. And when they take up the offering, I want you to give whichever one you think you should give, and you can keep the other one. So after the service, the mother asked the little girl, she said, when they passed the offering plate, what did you do? And she said, well, I was going to give the dollar, and then the preacher said that we need to be cheerful, joyful givers, and I realized that if I gave the dollar, I wouldn't be cheerful, so I gave the quarter. And a lot of times we're like that. We're going to give God the quarter, we're going to keep the dollar. And we need to serve Him and acknowledge Him in a great way because of everything He's done for us. If you'll look with me in Psalm 99, the chapter before, verses 6 through 8, Moses and Aaron were among His priests, and Samuel was among those who called on His name. They called upon the Lord, and He answered them. He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud, and they kept His testimonies and the statute that He gave them. Important. They kept His testimonies and the statute that He gave them. O Lord our God, Thou dost answer them. Thou wast a forgiving God to them, and yet an avenger of evil deeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for holy is the Lord our God. We see that Moses and Aaron, their prayers were heard, and God acknowledged them and used them as great leaders. And civilizations all over the world can trace leadership and law back to Moses. And they did it because they kept His laws and His statutes. They responded in obedience to Him. They kept His testimonies. And you and I are to serve God in that way. We're to be obedient to Him. We're to acknowledge Him. We're to do what He instructs us to do. And if He says it, we are just to respond in obedience. I hope and pray that you've been doing this experiment for the last few weeks. The last few weeks we've been emphasizing this and talking about it. Leaving here and obeying God. Listening to the still small voice and doing what He tells us to do in obedience. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. Whatever it is, I'll do it. Yes, Lord, I'll respond. No questions, no rationalizations, no excuses. We're just going to obey Him and serve Him. And that type of life produces a tremendous gratitude toward God. Then we see, thirdly, we show our gratitude with a song of praise to God. In chapter 95 of Psalm, if you'll drop back a few chapters, verses 1 and 2. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. I'd like to do this. We rarely, in fact, hardly ever do this. But I'd like to open it up right now for some quick staccato testimonies. Now, this is not the time to tell us where you were born and raised and how much you've loved Jesus your entire life. This is just to stand up and thank God for one thing in one word or one phrase real quickly. And I'd like to open it up now for anyone. Use your outside voice where we can all hear you, and let's just thank God for something that's on your heart right now.
I thank God for my family.
Okay. Someone else. Amen. Someone else. Amen. Someone else. Amen. Thank you. Amen. 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 Any others? Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Holding your marriage together. Amen. That's great. That's a great one. Any others? Amen. Yeah, he was intubated with COVID. They had written him off, really. Any others? Amen. Amen. Any others?
Thank God for pets.
For pets.
Particularly dogs.
Particularly dogs. Okay. Okay, good. One other? Amen. Amen. So we're thankful, we're grateful, and we need to rehearse our gratitude as you've done publicly, thanking him for these things in our life that he's provided, that he's graciously given us. There was a study done by Dr. Robert Emmons from the University of California, Davis, and Dr. Michael E. McCullough from the University of Miami. They asked participants to jot down a few sentences each week. The first group, they asked them to jot down everything they were grateful for, only things they were grateful for. The second group, they asked them to jot down their annoyances, the things that bothered them, that stressed them in their life, and only write those things down. The third group, they asked them if they would write down just the general occurrences of life with no direction for the positive, the negative, the encouraging, the annoying. And so the third group did that. It's interesting, at the end of their study, after 10 weeks, the grateful group became more optimistic by far than all the rest, and they had higher levels of enjoyment and energy in life. And then an unexpected byproduct of the grateful group after 10 weeks is they exercised more and they visited the hospital less. So if you want to have these characteristics in your life, enjoy life more, maybe go see the doctors less, exercise more, have more energy, then work on gratitude in your life. Work on recognizing, first of all, God, and then everyone around you for the things that they're doing in your life. So here's a little bit of homework for y'all for this week. I want you this week to go and write your gratitude. Get a little journal, a little notebook, legal pad, whatever, analog, or you could type it in, you know, on your iPad or whatever. But record lists of things you're grateful for. Lists of things you're grateful for. Acknowledge those. And then write notes of affirmation to those that you love. Write notes of affirmation to people. To your family members, you say, well, we're in the same house. Why should I write him or her a note? Because that is a great thing to leave them to look over again and again. And it might save your bacon someday, okay? So I want to encourage you to do that, to write notes to your family members, write notes of encouragement to your life group leaders, your ministry leaders, deacons, church friends. Write some notes this week. And then as you write the notes of encouragement, I want to encourage you to be creative in the way you express yourself. First of all, show enthusiasm. It's okay to use superlatives. It doesn't cost any more to say that was awesome than to say, oh yeah, that was pretty good. You know, and look for these things of expressions of enthusiasm. Vary your vocabulary. I write thank you notes. I try to always write thank you notes. I send them out. And a lot of times I find sometimes I'll wind up in kind of a rut saying the same thing, especially if I'm writing several of them in a day. But of course, when I'm mailing them, people, and of course you would know now, the people don't know that I've said the same thing to others or similar because they're only reading their note. But think in terms of being creative, and here's some ways to do that. Be specific in your gratitude. And you can add the word for to anything you're doing. Thank you for. For what? Through the years when Kim and I have had little arguments or whatever, and I'm apologizing, she'll say, what are you apologizing for? And then, you know, well, what do you want me to apologize for? You know, am I missing something? You know, and so sometimes, I mean, we've got to work and make sure our language is correct. And so with this, you add the for. You know, I appreciate you for what you've done. And then make publicly, announce it in office, in, announce it publicly. This week, Kim was coming to work with Elka, who does our sale and does a lot of our graphics and publication. And Kim said to me at home, I love going on this day to go work with Elka. I just love working with her. It's such a joy. So when we were in the office publicly, and there was, I think, one or two other staff members in the general office, I said to Elka, I said, Elka, Kim said this morning she loves to work with you. It's a joy. She looks forward to working with you. And then Elka said, with her accent, and I look forward to working with her also, you know. And but the idea of a public thing to say to someone. If you go to the store and there's one of the people that works there that takes special diligence with you and special care and is helpful, what a great thing to say with a whole line of people in the row and say, I think you're one of the best workers that's ever helped me in a store, ever. To say something like that, to say it publicly, and it gives honor to them, and then it produces a positivity, an encouragement right down the line. And you can do that. You can add to that and express that. And then share a list of favorite things in your life, things that are a favorite to you that you love and appreciate so much. Write the handwritten notes. Avoid cliches and use specifically accurate language. I'm more grateful than you'll ever know. I never forget your support and kindness. These types of things that you can express to one another. And do it. Do it this week. Do it with your family. Do it with your friends. Do it with people that you're interacting with. Do it to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And let this be a week of gratitude, expressed gratitude, gratitude that will move on, that will go on and produce a great outcome in our life. And a gratitude toward God, thanking Him and acknowledging. One of the things, empathetically, the longer I live, the more I look at it, the more I think how neglected our God is by so many people. So many people. Look at the Lord Jesus in His earthly ministry. 10 lepers approached Him, calling out to Him, Son of David, you know, heal us. Take our leprosy away. Help us, Lord. Help us. Please help us. And He healed all 10 of them right there on the spot. Bam. Healed them all. And then they left, and then one came back. One. And He said, well, where are the rest? And He said, is there only this Samaritan who was not even considered one of the top people that He healed, was not even considered in the elite class, and came back and expressed gratitude to Him? I think of Him in heaven like that on His throne, and I try to picture Him there. And I try to think in terms of saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank Him for everything. Express that gratitude to Him. I want to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads with me and close your eyes today. And with your heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to ask you, do you know Him personally? Do you know Him personally? You can't be grateful to Him if you don't know Him. You can try, It can be an academic exercise. But do you know him personally? There's a day coming very, very soon where it says in Scripture, he will turn to them and say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." I'd like to ask you right now to be sure of that relationship. While he's here, while he's listening, while he's looking, while you're alive, "Oh Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me. Come into my life. Forgive me. Thank you, dear Jesus, for dying for me. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen." We're going to extend and extend our invitation right now. I want to ask you to obey God. Do whatever he tells you to do. Maybe some of you are speaking to you about believer's baptism. You've given your life to Christ today, in the past, last few months or years, but you've not been believer baptized. You've not been baptized after your salvation. Then you can obey him today. Maybe he's speaking to you about being a part of our local New Testament church, this fellowship, this family. It is his will for us to be members of a church. And want to invite you to obey him in that if he's speaking to your heart. Or maybe you've got a prayer request or a praise. However the Lord's speaking to your heart today, let's stand together and you come. Please be seated. I want to invite y'all to, on the way out, pick up a packet of the petitions. And like I said, we need to raise 891,000 of those. Not just us here, but, you know, across the state. And so you can help us with that. And you're welcome to either bring those petitions back in here to the church office or mail them yourself if you'd like to. And those are available. Then also our tickets. Go ahead and get the tickets you'd like to hand out to your neighbors and friends. Invite them to come and say, "Here's a ticket to a concert at our church. Love to have you come and be a part of it. Meet me there or go with me or whatever," and invite them to come. And then I want to remind you again about our study on Wednesday nights as we're beginning the seven churches of the book of Revelation. Thank you, Larry. Our men started a men's class today. And did y'all have a good time today? Okay, good. Excellent. Praise the Lord. And so I want to invite any of our men to come and be a part of that. Cynthia and Michael, if y'all can come and stand here with me. Pronunciation Barbado. Like the island. Okay, very good. So have you both given your heart and life to Christ?
Yes.
Yes. And have you both been believer baptized?
Yes.
Amen. And you'd like to come transferring your membership?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord, yes. How many of you will make a commitment to pray for this sweet couple? Would you raise your hand and say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And Michael and Cynthia, we praise the Lord for you and God calling you to be a part of our family. And we want to help equip you to serve him and live for him and use your gifts in a great way. And thank you. So where do y'all live? What, you live in Stewart? In Stewart?
Yeah, we moved back here about 6 years ago.
Back
in the 80s, and then we left.
Can you give us our address, your address, so we can come over and eat with you?
Sure.
No. Excellent. It's on the card. He's a chef.
Yes.
It's on the card.
Sorry.
No, that's not on the card, just where we live.
Excellent. We need more chefs. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, praise the Lord. I want you to come by and express your love to both of them, to Michael and Cynthia. How many of you will make a commitment to pray for them as the Lord lays them on your heart? Would you raise your hands and say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And come by and express your love to them and meet them. And Brother Nick's going to dismiss us in prayer. Come on down here, brother. I love Nick. Nick's been one of my best friends my entire life here in this county. Here's a microphone, dear brother.
Thank you. Just bow for prayer before.
Sunday mornings to go in and have a word of prayer with him. And I was sharing with him this morning that on the way in, I was thinking about Pastor and what a blessing he's been in our life over these years. But most recently, over the past couple of years, and he said, well, you want to share that with the folks? And I said, well, I will if you want me to. So since it was the day of Thanksgiving and sharing and gratitude. And so I said, Pastor, I was thinking this morning as Nancy and I drove in about a year and a half ago, a lot of churches all over our country were shutting down, closed the doors. They weren't worshiping. And I said, I just wanted to thank God and thank you for having the courage and the leadership of the Holy Spirit to open the doors of this church when many churches across our country were shutting the doors because of COVID. And he had the courage and followed the will of God, I believe, for us to do drive-in church and then open the doors of this church around Easter time. And I just, that was a blessing he has been in my life and Nancy's life and the life of this congregation. And I just wanted to tell him that this morning and thank God for him and his continued ministry with us. And what a message today. Amen. Praise God. Well, he wants me to lead us in prayer. So why don't we stand together and keep this message in our hearts. Father God, we thank you today for this beautiful message. Father, help us to live it out every day, Father God, and obey the word of God as you remind us to have a grateful spirit. Father, your word says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, it says, Father, giving thanks in all things. For this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. So help us, Father, to live this out and take this message and live it in our lives that others may see Jesus in us every day. And we love you, Lord, and take us safely from this place to this community and bring us back in fellowship again next Sunday. In the name of Jesus, our lovely Savior. Amen.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
Hi, this is Mark Hennebach, and here's an additional message from Pastor Daryl Orman.
I'd like to speak to you for just a few minutes. The last 2 weeks I've been interviewing our members. I've interviewed now several dozen and asking them to share their story of First Baptist Church of Stuart, Jesus in their life, and what's going on in their life. And it's been so encouraging. I did it, one of the first ones with one of our committees, our Constitution Review Committee. That was one of our first groups where I did several. And it's just a blessing hearing from everybody. And one of them this afternoon has kind of pointed me toward what I'm going to share with you tonight. And I'd like to speak to you about the power of unity. I've had several of them share that one of the things that attracted them to First Baptist Church of Stuart is our unity. And then they've shared some horror stories of their experiences in other places. I may share one or two of those. When I first became pastor at Gardens Baptist Church in Hollywood, there were 12 people in the first Sunday morning service, 10 senior adults and the sound man and his wife. And he, thankfully for you, Jim, but he was an alcoholic. So I had a drunk running the sound, and it was not very good at first, and all blurry-eyed and slurred and everything else. So led him and his wife to Christ, their children. They threw out all their liquor, became teetotalers, and he turned into a real good sound man, actually. And then we began to add to the church and grow and add people, and it was exciting. And the church, not only did we grow, but we sponsored 9 mission churches and started a Christian school. So we started with 12 people, and we were awarded by the Southern Baptist Convention and given a national award for growth. And it was called a PAC Study Church of the Year for a turnaround church in the nation. We were the, there's 2 each year. We were the one east of the Mississippi River, because Hollywood, Florida is east of the Mississippi River. So just in case you don't know geography. But so it was interesting, after I'd been there a few years, we had an anniversary. It turned out to be the 50th anniversary of that church. And when we had it, some of the old members came back, a handful. And I remember one of them who was kind of a matriarch of the church. She got up, and I didn't know what she was going to say. And she said, "There's one word that describes Gardens Baptist Church when I knew it: division." And, you know, it was the most negative testimony for an anniversary I've ever heard. You know, "We used to fight like cats and dogs." And I mean, in fact, I had tapes from one of the old business meetings they had, and they were going after it back and forth. And Marilyn, who was the volunteer bookkeeper for the church, said, "I'm disgusted with all this." You could hear it, you know, over the tape. And you hear her stand, "I'm leaving right now." And she goes out, and bam, you hear the front door slam. And I thought, wow, what a hyped up deal going on, you know. But she said, this woman finally ended by saying, "Thank God, you know, with Pastor Orman here, we've had unity and growth and people getting saved and people getting baptized. In fact, they had record years of baptisms in the church, and we actually moved into the top 30 in baptisms in the entire state of Florida at that little church." And it was exciting. Those were exciting times for us. And starting the Christian school, and we were just seeing miraculous things happen. And I really was just, I was learning to be a pastor and shepherd people. There was one young couple, the Vaughns, Amy and Chris Vaughn, and they were living with Chris's father, who was a hard-nosed drunk. He was an alcoholic, and they missed church a couple of weeks, and I had married them. It was the first marriage I ever performed, led them both to Christ, and I went over to visit them, and Chris said, "We want to come, Pastor, but my dad won't let us." I said, "Your dad won't?" And they lived just 3 houses down from the church. And so I said, "Let me talk to him." And so they brought him to the door. And I said, "So, Mr. Vaughn, you're keeping your kids from worshiping Jesus, you know? Well, you know, they need to be doing things to help around here." And he's going with all this stuff. And I said, "Well, I want to tell you something. I'm a shepherd and I love my sheep. And I'm missing these two, and I want you to know I'm going to start praying heavy on you. I'm going to start praying for God to convict your heart, to put his mighty hand down on you, because you should not. He says, suffer the little children to come unto me, and it would be better for a millstone to be tied around your neck and you be thrown in the ocean than to keep these little ones from Christ." And his eyes got real big, and that is a passage. How many of you know that's a passage? So his eyes got real big, and he looked at me, you know, he said, "You know, I think they do need to go to church." And so they didn't miss again while we were there, hardly, unless they were on vacation or something. But the whole idea that when people are walking together and they're agreeing, and we saw some exciting things happen. We were trying to win young families to Christ, because we start out with nothing but seniors. And when I would bring them to church, 2 of the matriarchs, Myrtle McDonald and Mrs. Call, would go over. They always wore these long dresses to the floor, old style. And Miss Mack would go over to them and say, "You're dressed like a young hussy. You shouldn't be coming to church like this." I mean, I'm going knocking on doors, trying to win them to Christ, get them to come to church, and she's calling them hussies and everything. And I called her in my office, and I said, "Miss Mack, you can't do that. You can't talk to them like that. You know, we're trying to win them to Jesus, and as long as they've got clothes on, we want them to come, you know. And she looks at me, you know, and sitting in my office, and her eyes just glaring through her glasses at me. And the woman was like a old female John Wayne, I tell you. She is true grit. And so she's glaring at me, and she says, I want to tell you something, Pastor. I've never been so offended my whole church life. And I'm going to have my son come, and he's going to whip your, and he, she said it, and she, and I said, Miss Mack, come on, your son's going to come whip me? And then I was in a lot better shape than I am now. I said, I'm 6'4", 235 of pure muscle, and your son's 70 years old. He can't touch me. You know, what are you talking about? This is crazy. And so, well, I'm all ticked off. And so I got up, and before she left, I hugged her and prayed for her. And then she had us over for lunch a week later. But, you know, we've got to be shepherded. We've got to be directed. We've got to be guided. Now, one of the seniors I talked to today, she said, Pastor, when my husband and I moved here 9 years ago, we tried several churches in the area. And there's one of them that we went to. It was a small church, and it had just divided, and they were hurting, and you could see the division and strife and the effects of it on them. And we said, this one's not for us. And then we went to another one. It was like a loud rock concert, and we said, this one's not for us. And so she went through several, and she says, we had been through a church split church before when we were down in Broward County. Bible Town had a group that left, and then First Baptist of Boca had a group that left, and they started a new church, and we joined that, and they were Southern Baptists. They were starting a Southern Baptist church. And then after they had got it going, some of the deacons from Bible Town said, we want to take it out of the convention, and they started putting pressure on the pastor. And then the pastor said, no, we agreed this was going to be Southern Baptist. And so some of the deacons said, the ones that were Southern, there was kind of Northern people from Bible Town and Southern people from the Southern Baptist Church. And it's almost the North and the South in the church. And she said, we're from the North, but we were siding with these sweet Southern people. And it was started Southern Baptist. It should stay that. And it became such a thing that it split the church almost in half, with them going after the pastor and trying to hurt him and that sort of thing. And she said, we stayed with the Southern people and with the existing little church, but it was so hard on us. And disunity is like that. It just weighs on you and tears at you, and you think, this shouldn't be. We're Christians. We're controlled by the Holy Spirit. He sheds abroad in our heart the love of Christ, and we're to love each other. And it does sometimes take guidance and direction, and it takes shepherding for us to have unity, but it's such a powerful thing. And the scriptures say, how can two dwell together except they walk in unity? And this is what I'm so enjoying, talking to our people and hearing that they say, I've heard this over and over again, they say, I'm growing in this church like I've never grown before. I've heard that over and over and over again. I've been given more responsibilities. I've been given more opportunities. Just at dinner, I heard one say, my first teaching was here when I subbed for Kim one Sunday. And others here that have been recruited, you know, that I've recruited or leadership here has recruited, and given opportunities. I've taken people on their first mission trips and so many things through the years. And one of the things that's mystified me is, because we're in such a transitional area, these types of things, if we were in the Bible Belt where people tend to stay more, although there's a national trend for moving, but they tend to stay more. There's so many things that would keep people in the life of the church for the rest of their life: winning their kids to Christ, baptizing them, taking them on mission trips, ordaining them as deacons, recruiting them as teachers, all of these different things. But we're continuing on, and it's exciting to see people growing. And this has been a joy for me these last 2 weeks actually probably 3 weeks if I go back to the committee meeting, and hearing you talk about your unity, your growth, how Jesus is real to you. So many of you are straining to share Christ. We're going to have some of those testimonies I've already recruited for Sunday. And one said, I would have never talked to my children or grandchildren about Christ until I've been here, with the emphasis and with the growth in that. And now I'm going after them. I'm trying to reach them for Christ. And it's such a powerful, powerful thing. And unity is, we take it for granted. When we're here and things are smooth and things are going well, we tend to take it for, we think everybody out there is experiencing what we are. But brothers and sisters, they are not. And it takes diligence. It takes for us to persevere. We've got to be strong. We've got to be truthful. And in some senses, we've got to be confrontational. I had both of my children talk to me in the last 3 weeks with visits. Josh and I stayed up one night till 2:30 talking, even though we were exhausted. We had just refurbished the kitchen for Kim with Kim's help. Where's Kim? She was in here a minute ago. But we talked till 2:30 in the morning. Both my son and my daughter said, Dad, and both of them now as adults, very active in church life. And they said, Dad, you love people, and you're a people person. You're a storyteller by nature, and the administrative side of church, you do it, and you do it fairly well, but it weighs on you, and there's a truth to that, and there's an aspect of that where it can make you harder, or it can make you more determined, and that's an aspect of it. I mean, but it's a necessary aspect, but y'all can pray for that as I sort that out, because I'm really trying to think about what my children have said to me. And you're vice president of something, aren't you?
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.